13, our scripture begins at verse 1, and we'll read through verse 17. This is the word of God. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share in me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you, for he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, 'Not all of you are clean.'" When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I, then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you knew these things, blessed are you if you do them. I am not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but the scripture will be fulfilled: he who ate my bread has lifted up his heel against me. I am telling you this now, before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me." The word of the living God. Beloved in the Lord, this morning I want to draw your attention in this marvelous passage that we've read to the event of the washing of the disciples' feet, which I believe explains what is said early on in the chapter, where we read that Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, loved them to the end. The supreme display of the love of Jesus Christ is given in the example that he sets for his disciples of the washing of their feet. The occasion for this is not given to us in the Gospel of John. We have to go to the other Gospel writers to see what is going on at this very moment. John just focuses for us on the washing of the disciples' feet. But the other Gospel writers fill in some of the material for us. And you'll remember as you read the other Gospels that there was a bit of a discussion going on with all of the disciples as they were in this upper room and awaiting what would take place. What was the occasion? What were they doing? Well, Jesus had told them that his hour had come and that the kingdom of God was about to appear. And that was what they were waiting for. Finally, you could almost feel it. They said, "Oh, it's going to happen." And they were then involved, as the gospel writers in Matthew and Luke tell us, in a great discussion. What were they discussing? They were discussing who would be greatest in the kingdom of God. It's against that background of who would be greatest in the kingdom of God. You can almost imagine Peter sitting next to someone and another disciple trying to see who would have a higher position. And in the midst of that grand discussion, Jesus, knowing what was going on, Jesus rises lays aside his garments, girds himself with a towel, and washes the feet of his disciples. The focus of the gospel writer in the Gospel of John is to show that this is the great work of Jesus in his role as our Messiah, as our Lord, and as our Savior. It is to demonstrate that he came, as the other gospel writers so eloquently summarize it, not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And in this grand example, he demonstrates that service. Jesus is, therefore, the Lord who serves. That's the first thing I would like you to look at with me in this passage. It is focused upon Jesus serving his disciples. Washing feet was not just a sublime example of friendship and a welcome, but it was a powerful demonstration of Jesus in his role as the servant of God. It was not an act of humility alone. It is the Messiah taking up his work and seeking the whole world, coming to cleanse them from their sin. And only the power of the Messiah would be able to cleanse them from sin, because he comes to serve as the one who alone is able to do that. The whole of the life of Jesus is summed up in the word serve. Matthew tells us it. Mark tells us it in the wonderful words of those wonderful texts. He came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life. That's the demonstration of his service. That's the explanation of his service. His whole life was geared to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many. And so as John opens this passage and says, he loved his own and he loved them to the end, he is demonstrating his love for his disciples. And this last labor of his life was the supreme act of his love for his disciples. The Lord Jesus is the one who serves. He is, of course, the great servant. The Isaiah prophecy, which we read earlier, speaks of the coming of the great servant of the Lord. He comes as a servant in this passage, and in the irony of that, you have to see. We are so familiar with this passage, we forget. This is the Lord of glory. This is the one whom angels would come and serve in a moment as he would whisper that word. They would come at his call. This is the one who, by the very word of his mouth, brought forth all that exists in the power of God, for he is God. And this one who is God and Lord washes the feet of his disciples. It's a hard picture to gain for us. But think of it in terms of the President of the United States or some high official of other governments, someone whom you would come and you would expect to address them as their office deserves, and yet they would come and say to you, how can I help you and serve you? And perhaps they would come to your table and serve you a pot of coffee or something like that. We don't see the President of the United States coming to serve us coffee at our table. You see, that just doesn't ring true. Why? Because it's not what we expect. That's what's going on in this passage. Jesus is the servant, and at this meal with his disciples, as he anticipates in just a few short days the very drama of redemption, when he would give himself as a sacrifice for the sin of his people, he demonstrates his intense love for his disciples by taking the role of a servant. He takes the towel and he washes their feet. In this day in which this story takes place, the role of washing feet was either the host, if there was no servant, but most often the slave, a servant. Someone whose task, whose job was to get down on the floor and to wash the dirt and the grime and the tofu. Is that, you know, maybe, well, sorry if you like tofu. That's what I think of when you get those little things between your toes, you know. Ew. Yeah, that's what washing feet's all about. When feet go along in the dirt, they begin to smell after a while, and they need to be cleansed. And there was always a slave or a servant who was there, and it was their job when a guest would come to do that very thing. Jesus takes the role of a slave. He is prepared to do everything for his disciples. Not only is he prepared to die for them, but he's prepared to wash their feet. He took the lowest place among all men. Not one of the disciples got up from that table to say, I will take the role of the servant. It was Jesus who came in the guise of a slave, although he was Lord of all. Jesus did not file his claim to respect in this world of vacillation and change. He came as a servant to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He came not with the glory and the grandeur of a king, but he uses a wash basin and a towel to show and to demonstrate that he is Lord of all, because his authority did not depend upon all of the trappings and all of the things that would take place. His authority came from above. His respect was earned by the profound humiliation of his servanthood. And the relationships of life are placed into service of the Lord Jesus Christ through the work of the gospel. That's what we are called to become servants. Jesus clothed himself in the role of a servant, and he asks us, his disciples, to take that role as well. Not the apparel and the adorning of those who would rule, like the disciples who argued who is greatest in the kingdom of God. But Jesus challenges us to be the servant as he challenged his disciples. Look again at verse 12. When he had washed their feet, put on his garments, and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you?" This was a lesson that they were to learn. They were to have observed something from what Jesus had just done. Then he goes on in verse 14, he says, "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet," here's the lesson, he says, "you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should think about it." Talk about it? No, that you should do just as I have done to you. Jesus couldn't make it clearer. By compelling logic, he argues, as logic tells us, from the greater to the lesser, if this, then that. He says, if I am your Lord, and I am, and I have done this, then who shouldn't do this? All of you should. There's a story that comes to us from the history of the Salvation Army that really demonstrates this reality. It comes home to some in many different ways. Back in about 1878, William Booth, the leader of the Salvation Army, had just sent out word throughout the world for people to enlist in this organization. And one man who had once dreamed of himself as being a bishop in the church crossed the Atlantic Ocean from America to England to enlist in the Salvation Army. He was the Methodist minister. His name was Samuel Logan Bringle. And as he turned from a fine pastorate to join this Salvation Army of William Booth, he became the first American-born commissioner of that army. But at first, William Booth was reluctant to accept this man. And he said to Bringle, "You have been your own boss for too long." He just sort of sensed that in him. And in order to instill some sense of humility into the man, he set him about to work cleaning the boots of the other trainees. And Bringle said to himself, "Have I followed my own fancy across the Atlantic in order just to blacken boots?" And then, as in a vision, he saw Jesus, as he thought of this passage, bending over the feet of rough, unlettered fishermen. And then it struck him, and he said, "Lord, you washed their feet. I'll black their boots." He got it. If we are to be followers of Jesus Christ, we are to be humbled in service and service to others. Jesus has called us to be what some have said of this passage, the people of the towel. Do you want to be recognized by your greatness, your grandeur? Or would you want to be recognized as Jesus was in this passage, by the towel, by the service you offer to others? This passage is primarily for brothers and sisters in the church of Jesus Christ. Jesus is calling his disciples. You are his disciple. He is calling you to serve others, particularly those in the church. Help them. Washing their feet. What does he mean? Well, taking away the day-by-day dirt, so to speak, of our lives by humbly serving them. As he explained to Peter, you're clean, but and you've been, that means you're redeemed. You've been washed. That's you're justified. You're saved. But daily your sins accumulate as you walk in this world, and so your feet need to be cleansed. And that's what Jesus was doing and calls us to do as well. We need to forgive the sins of others daily. We need to work with them. We need to serve them. We need to walk with them. And he says, blessed are you if you do this. Not know this. Blessed are you if you do this. Happy are you if you not know it. Oh, we know it. We are so familiar with this passage, we could probably almost recite it. But do we do it? And Jesus says you'll be happy only if you do it. You're happy if you wash the feet of a spouse, of your parents, of your detractors, the feet of those who speak against you and bear ill things towards you. Wash their feet. Happy are you if you do this. How do I do this? How do I wash the feet of someone and feet are dirty? Feet are unclean. It's not a great job to go around washing feet. And the example is such that Jesus is telling us it's not easy or fun to work with other people and forgive them. That power only comes from grace. Ministry is hard work, but it's done in the power of grace. The ministry of washing one another's feet is done in the power of grace in our lives when Jesus calls us to serve him. He has challenged us. Do as I have done to you. And as far as God is concerned, the servant role is not an optional role for believers. Is it? He didn't say, if you want to do this. He says, I tell you, do what I have shown you. We must do as Jesus calls us to do. It's more than a mere acknowledgement of his lordship in our lives. It is more than simply saying we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It's doing what he commands. In obedience to his lordship, we seek to obey by doing the things he commands us. And there are many that we can serve. There are many feet that can be washed. The aged, the poor, the suddenly single, the person that's fallen into sin along the way, gently restore him, the Bible says. Wash their feet. And when you wash others' feet in this manner, do you do it with scalding hot water? Do you do it with scaldingly ice-cold water? No. You do it with the gentleness and the love that comes from grace, from a heart that overflows with love for others. A heart like Jesus, who, having loved his own, he loved them to the end. That love needs to flow from our hearts to others' lives as we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. What should be said of us should be the same thing that was said of Jesus. We don't come to be served, but we came to serve. We can give our lives, not as a ransom, but we can give our lives in service to others for the glory of Christ. The great example of the Lord washing the feet of his disciples is an example for us not just simply to look at, to observe that it's in the Bible, to talk about, but it's an example that he asks us to put into practice. We only do so by the power of grace. May the Lord equip us for that task, for his glory. Amen. Let us pray.